Throughout our history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Morning, Rob. How are you today?
Morning.
Morning.
You know what? I was just thinking, you know, you were talking about gigs. You're going to have to keep your eye on it because there's going to be so many bands coming over here, like Dishback Boss.
Exactly.
Go, well, I just missed them. What, they came over, what, last Tuesday?
Yeah, I know. It's so, we're just going to have to, like, pace ourselves, really know how to take a nana nap in the afternoon and save our pocket money because there's so much good music coming this way. How have you been, Rob? What's been going on?
Right now, I don't know if you know this, but 6 new species of alpine wet have been discovered.
Get out! That's
I
so good!
Know that.
No, there was any.
No, neither did I, to be honest. I kind of just thought there was one type of wetter, and that was it.
So did I, but this was real interesting article, this. But unfortunately, with global warming, they're under threat in their snowy mountain habitat. So we just discovered them, and we've nosed them up already.
Crisis after crisis.
Yeah, now, in the article, it said that there's between 70 to 100 species of wetter in New Zealand. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a second because I'm confused. What is it?
What? Wait, what is the wetter? Or what?
70 to 100 species. How many is there?
That's like quite a margin of difference there. Potentially 30.
Are they saying, well, there could be more, we just haven't found them yet. Is that just like, just in case they find
them? Maybe they found one and they were like, is this guy just like a little bit kooky or is he a whole different species?
A little bit different.
Yeah,
going through a phase.
Anyway, they can be found in forests, grasslands, caves and alpine habitats, and they live in really high elevation. The alpine wetter, nicknamed the Mount Cook flea, that's just a rubbish nickname.
I have to say, with wetter, it crosses over. I'm not particularly squeamish about bugs. They don't really freak me out. Sometimes if a spider is where it shouldn't be, then that kind of can be a bit stressful.
Where should a spider be?
Well, you know, if I see a spider on the wall, I'm like, it's a spider on the wall. But if I see a spider on my bed, I'm like, no. Oh,
boundaries with the house
boundaries,
spiders.
Yeah.
Okay.
But with a wetter, I feel like I don't know how people feel about this at home, so I'm keen to get the texts going on this one. But I feel like they cross over because they're so big. They cross over from being like a bug into a small animal in my mind. So they're kind
little
of
beast.
Like
yeah.
into a little beast, which I find makes them less freaky, but maybe that also makes them more freaky for other people. So I'd be keen to hear what people think about that. Do they freak you out, or are they just like beautiful, kind of crazy little critters? Don't know.
Right. Right, that Mount Cook flea, right, I'd actually call it Wetasaurus. It has the ability
that is
to
way
freeze
better.
Itself. It can freeze itself during the winter time, and then it thaws out in the spring.
Oh my god. That's so good.
I didn't know anything about wetters from the fact that I remember I've only ever seen 2 live ones, and the first one I saw, I was like, what is that? What has happened here? It freaked me out a little bit, but when I looked at it, they're just beautiful.
Yes, exactly. They're kind of just like an object of art, almost.
Did you know, like, they've been knocking around longer than Tuataras?
Yeah, they are old as the hills.
They are perfect for the environment, which unfortunately people are destroying.
I know.
And but anyway, so I started looking into them, and I got the wetaponga, or the giant wetter.
Oh yeah.
Now when they're fully grown, they can weigh as much as a mouse or a sparrow.
But that is a chunky insect.
I never knew a mouse and a sparrow weighed the same.
No, but that makes sense, kind of.
Wouldn't you think a sparrow is lighter?
Stuff all the time. Well, no, because they've got like hollow bones and that, haven't they?
Oh yeah, true.
That was not part of my logic when I was thinking about how much.
Well, that's how they're
weigh.
Light enough to fly, isn't it? Isn't it?
I've had more time to think about it than you have.
Yeah, you have. You have absolutely. You have.
Right. Anyway, they used to be all over Auckland, Northland, and Great Barrier Island, but now they're only at the Little Barrier Island because their habitat has been destroyed.
Little Barrier has got some amazing wildlife on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's lots of breeding programs going on in lots of places. Maybe it's even some at Auckland University.
That would
be good if it was.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'd like to go and have a look. But basically, we just stop destroying their habitat, really.
Has anyone been to that Buck Wild Reptile Park in Lee? It's like...
No.
It literally is the strangest place I've ever visited. It feels like it's been forgotten by the rest of civilization. But it's got it's got tuatara, it's got weta, it's got all sorts of like little turtles and lizards and... Maybe there's a crocodile, or there used to be a crocodile or something. I think maybe the crocodile's no longer alive. But it is, when you go there, you feel a little bit like you've stepped into a strange movie or something. It doesn't quite feel real. But that's the last time I saw wetters was there. That was a while ago.
That's what wetters are like steampunk as anything to me.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Definitely. And they should be in a 1920s movie or some black and white movie or something.
Yeah, very much.
Really, this is a final one. I've got to mention this because this is one that just made me go, pfft. Dr. Andrew Stapley of Loughborough University is a chemical engineer, and I just remember that.
Yep.
His research, the proper way to make a perfect cup of tea. And I've written, what dramatic pause, unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
After extensive research, I don't know what that entailed, just probably making heaps of cups of tea. He surmised the making of your tea. Now, I totally disagree with this, and I'll tell you why at the end. You pour the milk in first because if you pour milk into hot tea, the milk will heat unevenly, which will cause the proteins in your milk to alter its natural quality. I don't know what that means.
But I mean, you put the splash of milk in afterwards, and then, it's not suddenly off.
And then he said some other stuff about water and mineral content. He just lost me then.
I think it's a very subjective thing, isn't it? The best type of way to make tea.
I think you can.
This is another reader poll you can do. To me, like you have your tea and then you pour your milk in until it's perfect tea colour.
Exactly. And what is your tea colour? How would you describe your perfect tea colour, Rob?
I mean, then it's a preference. I like really strong tea, like Builder's Mix, that you can stand a spoon up in the middle and it just stays there.
Yep, two Yorkshire tea bags at a time.
I mean, and really, when you think about it, not lots of people drink tea without milk of any description.
Yeah, they do, like my dad. He does not like milk in it.
I've done it a couple of times when I've had no choice, and it's like, actually, this is really nice, I'll do it again, but then I just go and buy milk.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a splash of milk type of a person, but, you know, I'm not someone to be precious about how my tea is made.
No,
if you're making me a cup of tea, I'm just grateful, you know? That's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
Because I don't drink coffee, I take my tea very seriously.
You do.
I'm like you, I don't care.
Rob brings his own tea bags into BFM, I just would like everyone to know.
Oh, no, not now, because there's Earl Grey there, and it's good Earl Grey.
I've had
some rubbish Earl Grey tea. Absolute rubbish.
Before we get on to the very exciting third thing we've got here, we've got a few texts about the giant wetter. Someone says if you want to go and see them in town, then Tiri Tiri Matangi is the closest place to go and check them out. Someone else also says that reptile place is eerie as, and it's always overcast when you go. It was overcast when I went. It's very cursed vibes.
I want to go.
It's great. Definitely go.
This road trip. We've got a road trip coming out. I'll go.
Nice.
I'm in.
Yeah, I think we could do that. We should also, while we're doing that, go and see the new T-Rex at the museum as well. I think that needs to be on the mind trench list.
I really want to go to that.
Gail says that she used to pick up wetter as a wee girl, and though I love them, I freak out if I accidentally touch one in the garden now, and I let out a little scream. I think that's fair, Gail. Just a small scream, because, you know...
I mean, I'd still be a little bit wary, just for a little bit, because you think they're going to attack you. Of course they're not.
Oh my God, someone said they found their daughter put her foot in a gumboot one day when she was about 4 years old and wondered what the weird thing in her shoe was that kept moving around her foot. Took her foot out and shook out her gumboots, and fortunately she wasn't looking, and there was a wetter in her gumboot that was perfectly fine. It had survived.
And that's how they're so durable.
They are.
That could have really gone the other way if you'd seen it.
I know. Someone says that as an arborist, they've had them leap out of a branch they've just cut, which is a good way to
ninjas.
Soil your trousers. Yep. Somebody else says, check out the tusked wetter. Looks like a tiny little New Zealand mammoth. That's cool. Very cool.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, thank you for all this wetter chat, everybody. We've got something very exciting to premiere, though. What are we about to listen to, Rob?
We are going to listen to Like Recycler by Dead Famous People and Guests. And I'd like to say good morning to Dons. Hope you're well.
Hi, Dons. Thank you very much, Rob. We'll see you soon. Ka kite.
Yeah. Have a good one. See you soon. Bye.
Ooh, it's the first spin of this one. That's a bit special.
BFO. No respect, no manners. All the class of a cheap wine bladder. If you met him, you'd not forget him. Toxic Tory toad. Into my way he rode.
Chef's Kiss, that is a brand new one from Dead Famous People featuring the bard Like Recycler.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.